Hello, everyone. Today's devotion comes from Matthew chapter 21. Again, that's Matthew chapter 21. And I'll read that for us. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent out other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. Amen. In today's passage, Jesus has now finally made his way into Jerusalem, which means his time left on earth is slowly coming to an end. But even still, Jesus doesn't slow down with his teaching people and healing people. And one of the teachings Jesus gives is the parable of the tenants, which is at the end of this chapter. This is what I'll be focusing on today's devotion. In this parable, a master of a vineyard leases the vineyard to these tenants. And at the time of harvest, the master sends servants to the tenants to receive the fruit. But wicked as the tenants are, they beat and kill and stone these servants that the master sends. Eventually, the master sends his own son, but even the son, the tenants kill. Jesus then asks those who are listening to this parable, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" And they answer him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus is primarily aiming this parable at the wickedness of the chief priests and scribes who are plotting Jesus' death. The tenants in the parable who kill the master's son is a very obvious and direct parallel to the chief priests and scribes who are about to have Jesus killed. There is justice waiting for the wicked. And this is the thought I want to leave us with today, this idea of final justice. Perhaps many of us, when thinking about the characteristics of God, we're accustomed to thinking about his love and kindness and mercy. And rightfully so. Where would we be without the love, kindness, and mercy of God? These characteristics of God are so precious to us as his children. But God is also a God of justice, and he will fully and rightfully enact justice on the wicked, as it says here in this parable. Evil will be fully and completely dealt with. Imagine if a heinous criminal charged with multiple counts of murder with no remorse was put on trial. What kind of rightful judge would turn a blind eye as if nothing ever happened? Of course, a rightful judge would sentence the criminal to prison for the evil he performed. And the God we worship is a God of justice who has dealt away with evil once and for all. In our worldly court system, when a heinous criminal is brought to justice and sentenced to prison, it doesn't actually accomplish much. Sure, sending a murderer to prison might feel like some sort of justice has been accomplished, but what does sending someone to prison actually do? Does that really balance out the horrors of the crimes he committed? I don't think so. But when our God imparts justice, it will be a holy, righteous, full, and complete justice that is actually and truly accomplished once and for all. And as his children, saved by the blood of Christ, I think this justice is something we can and should look forward to. The day when he comes and every tear is wiped away, every evil is thwarted, all wickedness brought to the light, and to complete justice. What a day to behold. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you humbly and amazed at your righteousness. You are a God who hates evil and will fully deal with evil once and for all. Lord, though we live in a broken world full of evil in this moment, we look forward to the day when your goodness will utterly triumph and trample over all wickedness, where evil will be completely wiped away as your goodness remains. It's hard to even imagine what that will be like. But Lord, we are yearning for that day. We continually ask for your mercy to cover us because we are as much perpetrators who have done evil. So help us, Lord, to keep seeking for your righteousness that covers us through faith. And Lord, at the same time, may we continue to seek for your justice to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.